Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, even as we just go through your word this morning. We just pray for receptive hearts, receptive spirits, Lord, that even as your word is shared and preached this morning, that our hearts will absorb your word, the powerful word of the living God. That, Lord, that word will change lives this morning. That, Lord, will transform hearts this morning. And that, Lord, you will be glorified through all that is said and done in this room. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, wasn't that the guy that was playing the keyboard just now? And some of you are thinking, what is he doing here again? It just so happens that, yeah, I was on schedule to play as well as on schedule. Well, no, the schedule for the preaching came afterwards. And, yeah, we just have to double up. Whenever there's work to be done in God's house, when there's work to be done, if you can do it, you do what? You do it. So I'm probably sure some of you are wondering, okay, and thinking to yourself, well, since it's Nigel this morning, he's probably going to finish early. Maybe slightly, right? Some of you are probably thinking, can Nigel just hurry up and start? Because you're probably all thinking, oh, where are we going to go for lunch today? Where are we going to eat for lunch? You know, so many thoughts are going through your head. And the title of my sermon is, What Are You Thinking About? Amen? Now let's just quickly turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And I forgot to bring my Bible with a large print, so I have to wear my magnifying glass. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'll repeat again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So stop thinking about your lunch. Stop thinking about where you're going to have lunch. Just focus on the Word of God for now. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this passage of Scripture is, personally in my life, I've been seeing a lot of issues of dealing with what's in my heart and what's in my mind, what I'm thinking about concerning myself, concerning my life, my family, my business, my relationships, everything. And you know, one of the places where Satan would attack you first is in your mind. Does everybody agree to that? One of the places, if he's going to win a battle, if he's going to conquer you in any way, the first place he would first attack is your mind. I mean, like, if you look around you in the world today, we've got two crazy heads of state, one in North Korea and another one in America. And, you know, one is threatening to launch missiles and the other one is saying, you bring it on. They're trying to fight what is in their minds. They're trying to play this mind game to see who is going to succumb to it first. And likewise, when Satan wants to get us down as Christians, he starts with our minds. You know? Paul was encouraging the children of the Philippians here. And if you read what he actually wrote in verse 6 of the same chapter, he actually said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So you're anxious about something. You're anxious about where your next meal is going to come from. You're anxious about whether you're going to pass that exam. You're anxious about not having a job next month. You're anxious about not having enough business clients. You're anxious about your kids, about how their welfare is going. Paul says, if you're anxious about any of these things, what should you do? Pray. Isn't that what he says there? If you're anxious about anything, just pray. So I'm assuming all of you know that whenever you're anxious about anything, what you should do is what? Pray. And that is what Paul has commanded us. But then after you pray, there's the next part of the battle where you now have to think on things not to sabotage your prayers. If you know what I mean. basically you've prayed, you've spent time and time again praying, or you've come for prayer meeting, or you've prayed in your own closet at home, and you've said, Lord, this is what your word says about this issue, and this is what I'm asking you for, and I'm believing you for. And then after you've said, in Jesus' name, amen, you walk out of your room, and the devil starts throwing doubt at you. That is one thing that we need to keep our thoughts focused on the word of God. And that's one thing, that's the basic core of what I'm going to share this morning, to just control our thoughts, to control how Satan will try to use our mind to defeat us. And we don't want him to have that victory. Amen? We don't want him to have that victory over us in areas that we're believing him for. Your wrong thoughts would normally lead to wrong statements and wrong actions. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you look into Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that out of what is in your heart, out of the abundance of what you've been thinking about, that the mouth would speak. And that's where, you know, I've shared a few other sermons about meditation, about how you let the word of God dwell in you richly. Meditate on the word of God. Let the word of God be your guiding light, be your GPS, if I may put it that way, to lead you, to guide you, to steer you in paths of righteousness that God may be glorified. And you know, there's so much negativity going on around us. Everywhere you look, somebody has been shot or somebody has been killed. And, you know, people go fishing and their boat capsizes. Six of them in the boat, only one of them survives. You know, there's enough negativity out there in the world. We don't need to add to it in our own minds. We don't need to see every negative around us. And one thing I've noticed, okay, one thing I've seen around in a lot of people, some of the people that I speak to that I fellowship with, that I know, you know, they have a slight sniffle in their nose and they go, oh, I'm coming down with the cold. Who told you that? You know, it just feels like, maybe it's just a slight pollen or something. Oh, I'm coming down with the cold. And truly, they come down with the cold because they've thought to themselves, yeah, when I feel like this, it means the cold is coming on. Why don't you change that thought, that when you feel like that, you say, I am healed in the name of Jesus. You know, you change the outcome of that thought. You change the direction of, I mean, it could be truly that you were coming down with the cold, no doubt about that. But the power of the word of God that we know so true, the power in the spoken word of God that we know so true, can actually turn the outcome, the eventual outcome. You know, sometimes Satan will try to put terrible thoughts in my mind, you know. I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me sometimes. You know, I might be reversing my car, and I'm just gliding out of the garage. And I'm not even looking back. Just assuming, come on, I do this every day. I don't need to look behind me. And you know, the thought would just come to me, what if a child was there and you ran him over and then you lost your license? Straight away, I'll just say, I reject that thought in the name of Jesus. And of course, and I look back or look into the camera. You know, in a way, it's a pointer to say, don't do what you're doing, but don't put so much negativity on it. And you know, sometimes some people do that. They'll dwell on the negative so long until it actually happens. I mean, the things that you fear the most would actually happen to you. We know that people see that happen day in, day out. And from the word of God, from what this passage said, things that are true, noble, you know, just, everything, all those details that are there, we're going to go through later on. Those are things that your mind, your heart should be dwelling on, not on negative things. There's so much negativity out there already in the world. We don't need any more. Now, I looked up the meaning of this word because as far as I was concerned, when I was dwelling on this, on what I was going to share this morning, the word pessimist. Does anybody know what that word means? Pessimist. Sorry, you have to forgive my accent. It's a very Nigerian and Singaporean accent. Sorry? Pessimist. I'll read it to you. A person who tends to see the worst aspect of things or believe that the worst will happen. Amen? A pessimist will say, this bottle is almost empty. Am I right to say that? Now, the opposite of that is an optimist. A person who tends to be hopeful and confident about the future or the success of something. An optimist will say, if Nigel stops drinking this bottle, we would always still have a full bottle of water. but he has to drink it. Amen. Optimists are full of faith. They're the ones that say, yeah, it can happen even when everybody thinks it's not going to happen. Which one would you rather be, the pessimist or the optimist? Optimist, of course. And of course, optimism added to faith is, oh my goodness, powerful. When it says in the Word of God, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, that's all you need, just the faith to believe the Word of God, to say, this is going to happen or that is going to happen. Say, I am healed, or to say, I am delivered. That faith, that same faith that even when you gave your life to Christ, to say, I give my all, I surrender all to Jesus, like Brother William was sharing just now, and I surrender my all to Jesus. It's that same faith. It's that optimism that Christ has died for you. He's redeemed you. He saved you. And he's going to continue to show himself strong on your behalf. And we need to have that faith. We need to be very careful to control what, you know, and that's why they say, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. I tell you, TV is the wrong place to build your faith in Christ. It's the wrong place to try and stir yourself up in the Word of God. Because from the news to the programs to the kind of stuff that you expose yourself to, you know, we've all become so fearful. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know about all of you, but I would leave home at 9 o'clock in the morning. Of course, after having a shower, having breakfast, I'll leave home at 9 in the morning. This was probably when I was 10, 11. And I'll go over to the neighbor's house. I'll get there in time just before they have their breakfast. And I'll have another set of breakfast. And you know, you're there in your neighbor's house till lunch, dinner time. And you stroll back home at 6 p.m. in the evening. The whole day you've been out. Your parents kind of knew where you were and they were confident that you were out somewhere. I mean, it could be neighbor A or neighbor C's or neighbor D's house. They didn't really care. Nowadays, before our son can go and play in somebody's house, you have to call on the phone and plan 3 weeks ahead. He's going to come to your house. He's going to come to your house for 2 hours. Is that okay? And every, you know, we're fearful that kids can't even walk out into the street anymore and go down the road, you know? I mean, at my son's age, my son is 12 now. My mom used to send me to the market to buy food for the whole family. And I'll come. This is not fair. This is not. I'll go all the way to the market. The market was about 20 minutes away. I had to go by public transport to go and buy foodstuff, bring it back home, cook the food. I can cook, honestly. And get it ready for the whole family to eat at 12. My son, I can't even send him. Not because he won't do it, because I'm so fearful. What's going to happen to him when he goes out there? And it's because we've been exposed to so much. It's because we see so much bad happening around us. And it could also be that the world is just getting to be a darker place as well. I'm not doubting that. But because of that, those fears that we have, we're really caging ourselves off as human beings. We're really, really, you know, if I may put it in a straight jacket, that we cannot move anymore. And I just pray that even as Christians, we would learn to release ourselves, release our kids, and just trust in God. Of course, you do it with wisdom. If the Holy Spirit says, don't let them go, of course, you listen. But if he says, it's okay, don't start thinking about what you watched on TV, about somebody else being kidnapped, you know, all that stuff. Unless it's a real witness in the Holy Spirit, which, of course, is a battle. You will not know when, unless you've practiced that walk with God, when you know when this is definitely the Holy Spirit. You just feel this fear or this check in your spirit, if I may put it that way. And, you know, we need to just cultivate that habit of not exposing ourselves to all these negative things. You know, interestingly, our TV was out of service for a while. Not our TV, the extra channels that we have with the TV. And for some reason, for like 2 weeks, the family in the house, we didn't watch the news. We didn't watch so much of TV. There was less TV in the house. And I noticed it changed the atmosphere in the house. And I'm saying, I'm being very open with you. Can I keep it real? Can I just tell you as it happens? And, you know, there was more family time. We were talking more, laughing more, making fun of each other more. Yeah, they make fun of me the most, I think. But we were doing all that. We were having more fellowship time. And that's one thing that we should cultivate as a family, as children of God, to always spend time together. Put all these things that would feed you with too much negativity. Just turn it off. Shut it down. Cancel the account or whatever it is that you have to do to maintain normalcy, if that's a word, in your life. So going on to explain that scripture where it says think on things that are true. So I'm going to just try and break down every single word. Now, It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, true, true. What does truth mean? Whatever is in accordance with the actual state of things. Whatever is real, whatever is genuine. And I'm sure some of you know that, especially the ladies, they know what a real Prada bag looks like. And they know what a fake one looks like. Even though some people still decide to buy the fake one because it's cheaper. But real, it's authentic, it's the real thing, it's genuine. Now, this one that is so, I mean, the true part is, it looks like it's easy to explain, but it's also hard to explain. Now, I'm going to give you this question. If I walked up to Sister Yovita, let me use her as an example, and I tell Sister Yovita, I'm feeling a pain in my knee. Okay? I'm feeling, and that's the truth, I'm feeling a pain in my knee. I'm sorry, I'm not feeling one now. I'm just saying as an example. Okay? So I tell her, I'm feeling a pain in my knee. And Sister Yovita says, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Or by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you have been healed. Which one of the statements is true? Hers or mine? Hers or mine? Sorry? Sorry? Both. Those of you who say hers. Raise up your hands. Those of you who say both. Hers is true. Yeah. Both are true as well. Which makes this one quite difficult. But then the secret to this is then I come to her and I say, I'm having this pain on my knee. And she says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you have been healed. I say it again, but I'm having this pain on my knee. She says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you have been healed. Then I keep quiet and she keeps saying what she says. Eventually, the one that is more in your spirit will take over and become the truth. Amen? So, there are two true statements. There's a pain in my knee, but by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've been healed. Until I continue to say this one, until it overshadows the actual truth that was there before, then the word of God becomes true, not only to me, but to the actual situation. And I think that's the hard part that we as Christians face when we're faced with sicknesses, with issues in our homes, with job issues, whatever it is that we're facing. Because we don't stay the course, because we don't see the line at the end of the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes, that's where it's difficult. To stay, even though you're feeling that pain, you continue to say, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've been healed. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've been healed. By the stripes of Jesus, and you continue to confess it and you continue to pray it, you continue to believe it, you're going to think on it until that truth overcomes the other truth. Amen? So, this scripture here is simply saying, meditate on the truth of God's word. Think on that truth. Think on the one that is definitely going to deliver you from where and what you're going through. And you see the victory. Now, the other one says, think on things that are noble. Things that are noble means of an exalted mortal or mental character or excellence. Noble. Noble sounds what? Kingly, huge, as in something that you really look in awe. Think on those things. Think on, I mean, sometimes because of our finite minds, we cannot think of an infinite God. I can't remember where I was 2 weeks ago when we were praying somewhere and somebody said, God is here. And you know, it just struck me, oh yeah, of course, He is here. Sometimes because of what we see and we know about the universe, you know, there's Earth, there's all the planets, there's da-da-da-da-da. And then beyond that, we say somewhere there's heaven, beyond wherever. So sometimes you tend to think, oh, God is so far away. But He says, if you draw nigh unto Him, He's drawing nigh. So He's here with us now. And that's how we should always think about Him, that in His power, in His gloriousness, in His majesty, the noble King, He is with us. And we should think about Him. Think about such things. He says, think about noble things, about the King that we serve, the King of Kings who died on that cross. He came down to earth to redeem us for Himself. Amen? He says, think on things that are just. Whatever things are just. Just simply means based on or behaving according to what is morally right and fair. Just, based on behaving according to what is morally right and fair. And you know, that moral, the definition of morality is being questioned even in our nation today. what is good, what is bad. People can't tell you anymore. You know, things that we've always known to be the right way to do things, to be the just way to do things, they're questioning that now. And we, as the children of God, should just hold fast and stand on our feet and stand and hold our ground to say we're not going to allow that to happen. Moving on, it says things that are pure. Pure. I mean, you think of what? I think it's scarlet that they say is pure. Or pure gold. Pure gold has no impurities whatsoever. I think this gold wedding ring is not fully pure, right? It's whatever, 7 whatever carats it is. It's a cheap one. I bought it when I was a student, so it's okay. Pure. Purity. It's not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material. That's what it means. So we should think on things that are pure. Things that are... And another word for purity is holiness, if you ask me. Think on those things. Don't think about horrible things that the world wants to do, to go out to party and to drink and to go into all sorts of sexual immorality and all that. No. We don't think on those things. We think the complete opposite of that, on things that are pure. Things that will make us be able to, you know, I should be able to come here Sunday morning without feeling anything at all based on everything I've done for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that's how every one of us should be. We should not have anything, you know. I know in old school, people come into church and they bow down their knees and they go to the Father and they ask and confess their sins. I'm not saying we don't all have sins and we don't all commit errors here and there. But constantly, we should learn to live in purity. We should learn to live a pure, holy life. You know, when we see something that is negative happening around us, don't keep dwelling on it. Move away, look away, turn off the TV, switch the channel, whatever it is you have to do to just maintain that life of purity. Because that's the difference between us and them outside the world. That purity thing is one thing that makes us stand out. You know, when somebody shouts at you or cuts you in traffic and shows you a finger it shouldn't show you, you just look at him and like, smile in all holiness. Do you do that? No, you don't do that. Okay. But that's what you're supposed to do. Praise God. Moving on, it says things that are lovely. Whatever things are lovely. I mean, we all like lovely things. We all like beautiful things. We all like attractive. Don't think about calamity and disaster happening to you. Think about things that are good. You know, don't think, oh, if they say North Korea is going to throw a bomb and it's going to come and destroy the whole world. Don't think about that. Just think about lovely that will continue to enjoy the peace and harmony that we enjoy in this country. It's a privilege to do this. It's a privilege to have this lifestyle that we enjoy. Some people can't meet on Sunday mornings to worship like we do. And it's so sad that the very thing that we have freely is the very thing that we take for granted. And I just pray that we would never lose sight of the loveliness, of the beauty that God has given us to enjoy. Going on, it says that we should, whatever things are of good report. Whatever things are of good report. Things that, you know, I want you guys to be able to hear of things that I've done that are good. As if, oh, yeah, that's my boy, Nigel. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. And you know, it always happens. Whenever something good happens in a church, everybody wants to talk about it. Everything wants to. But the minute something bad happens with one of the leaders, nobody wants to talk about it. And that's just human nature. But we want to maintain a life that whatever it is that we're doing, even away from the church, if anybody sees it, they'll be able to write a good report. Yet that guy is a good person or that lady is a good person, because even when she's at work and, you know, she puts her lunch in the fridge and somebody goes and takes it and eats it, she still maintains her holiness and her purity. Well, that happens actually, if just in case you don't know. People will take your lunch out of the fridge. Oh, I thought it was mine. And you think it was yours. But praise God. Good report is one thing that we should be aiming to have people see. And it's not a pride thing, but it's just like we send our kids to school to study, to learn, and they send their report card and you say, "Ooh, nice, you got A in math and you got A in English, you got F in sports. Why did you? Oh, really? Okay, yeah, you take after me, that's why." But, you know, no, my kids actually didn't get F in sports. They get very good grades in their sports. But, you know, you want to see a good report. It makes you feel good. And likewise, we should do things that will make God give us a good report. Moving on, it says things that are of virtue. Things that, basically, virtue means a behavior showing high moral standards. high moral standards. Going back to what I shared about purity, it's the same thing. Our morality, going back to what I said about the just as well. Our high moral standards, virtue, we should not be found wanting in any area of morality as children of God. And so those are the things that we should be dwelling on. And finally, it says, if there is anything praiseworthy or deserving approval and admiration. So praiseworthy is anything that's deserving approval and admiration. We should think on these things. Praiseworthy, which means I should be able to come here and testify of everything I did during the week. Or you should be able to do the same thing. If you did something during the week, you should be able to come and tell everybody, wow, guess what I did? I drove my car from my house to work and I got there safe. Praise God. That's a praiseworthy report. But you know, in our thoughts, let us learn to cultivate that. Now, I'm saying all these things and giving all this example, breaking down the verse. But most importantly, it's about our thoughts. What I'm really, really particular about is we should not self-sabotage. You know, it's like you're going for a job interview. They tell you there are 40 other candidates. And you know, your mind straight away tells you, oh, maybe I'm not going to get the job. That is already you thinking negative thoughts. Why do you think you're not going to get the job? Why do you think you're not the best person to get the job? You know? And that's why we should cultivate our hearts and our minds to think on things that are lovely, that are true, that are just, that are noble, that are of virtue, that are praiseworthy. And in the midst of more than 20 people applying for one job, the guy who's interviewing just feels this connection with you and says, yeah, you get the job. And that's the kind of faith we should have when we go into this, is when we're doing things that are absolutely, that look totally hard, if I may put it that way. It's the same thing, like I mentioned earlier on, when you feel a slight, oh, sniffling in your nose and you say, yeah, I'm coming down with a cold. Don't do that, please. We have enough people to get colds and catch colds already. You don't have to be one of them by saying it or by thinking it. Or, you know, and like all the threats that we're getting in the world scene, North Korea, America, and then all of us are thinking, oh, we should start preparing bunkers because they're going to, no, let's not think on that. Let's just think on the word of God saying he will give us peace in our land. He will give us stability in this country. If the missile is shot, it will just go over Rottnest, go over Western Russia, and land somewhere else, and it will miss us. Amen. So let's think on that. Let us continue to dwell on what God wants to do in and through our lives. Let us not self-sabotage, because that's one thing that a lot of us do in our minds. We self-sabotage. We do things and think things that are not according to God's word. If you can just quickly turn to Proverbs 23:7, please. And I'm just going to read a quick... Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Well, we'll start from verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Sorry, Proverbs 23, verse 6 and 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the one I just want to point out. As you think in your heart, as you think in your mind, so will you be. And you don't want to self-sabotage with the thoughts, with your thoughts, with the things that you're thinking about. You know, like you get a blood report saying that everything is good, everything is fine, everything is good, everything is all okay. But then you know of someone who is not far from you that got sick with some sickness. And you keep worrying, maybe I'm going to get it as well because that person is my age, same sex and all that. But nah, don't do that. Don't self-sabotage. Don't think... You know, sometimes they tell you, oh, people your age are passing on. They got sick with this illness, cancer, or whatever it is. And then your mind starts telling you, oh, yeah, you're getting to that age also. And you may have those kind of sicknesses and diseases. I reject that in the name of Jesus. Amen? I reject that in the name of Jesus. And so let's learn to cultivate that habit. And I find myself doing this a lot. Whenever I get negative thoughts, I will just say, I reject that in the name of Jesus. It's easy to entertain the thoughts and start playing on the thoughts and start dwelling on it. But you just say, I reject that. I come against that thought in the name of Jesus. You know, you're about to board a flight to travel from Perth to Melbourne. And Satan says, what is the plane nosedives and crashes. I reject that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's learn to do that. Let's learn to cultivate that. So that whenever you've prayed, like Paul says, you've had these issues that made you anxious, you've brought them to God in prayer, and you've prayed the word of God, and you walk out of the room and Satan starts attacking you in your thoughts, just speak the word of God to you. Just continue to speak the word of God, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, but he would always make a way for us. That is his promise to us, and that's what we should believe and stand on as children of God. And you know, in my own life, I've seen this happen so many times where my thoughts played a major part in me getting a breakthrough. I've shared this story before. I'll just share it again for those who haven't heard it before. But when I used to live in Singapore, when I just arrived in Singapore as a young 21-year-old, and I was applying for a visa to stay in Singapore, I've shared this before. I'll just share it again. Please forgive me. I arrived in the country on, I think it was a Saturday afternoon or so. On Monday morning, a Nigerian who holds the same kind of passport that I hold was arrested for smuggling drugs into the country. Okay? I go to the immigration office on Tuesday morning to apply for a visa to stay. As in, you get a visa to come in as a social visitor, then I needed to get a visa to stay as a student. On Tuesday morning, I put in my application. Everything was going on fine. 2 weeks later, I got a rejection letter to say, I'm not going to get it. I put in an appeal to the officer for another 2 weeks. It was not approved again. And, you know, I just felt, oh, my goodness, this is hopeless. This is wrong. And, you know, I spoke to a few people in the church that I was attending at that time that what is going on. And they just said, can't you see? The day before you came, or 2 days or 3 days after you came into the country, one of your countrymen was arrested here. And you know, from Nigeria to Singapore is very far. It's a very remote place to be from a Nigerian standpoint and from a Singaporean standpoint as well. So the likelihood that as a Nigerian, and at that time I was the only private student in the whole country that was trying to apply for a visa. Everybody else had come to like the government polytechnics or the government university, or they were sponsored by some multinational or some UNICEF or whatever it is. So at that time, I was the only private student in the whole country. So it just looked, in a way, suspicious that I was applying for a visa as a boy, as a Nigerian. It just looked very suspicious. So it was rejected 2 times. And, you know, I kept on praying and I kept on believing God. And, you know, sadly, and it's not Cornerstone, by the way, people in church actually told me, because you're Nigerian, you're not going to get it. Can you imagine when people tell you that in the church? It was what they could see and what they knew about my background that made them make those statements. But I had to go back into my closet and say, Father God, your word says, wherever the feet, my feet lay upon, you have given me to possess. Amen. And I had to start searching through the scriptures myself, because I thought to myself, if the church is not going to back me up, I'm going to have to do something myself. Because if I went back to Nigeria, oh my goodness, you know, Chinese talk about saving face. I will have no face. I will probably have to move to another city and go and stay, because it would have been just bad. You know, I mean, it was a big hoo-ha that I was leaving the country and I finally left and half the village came to come and say bye to me at the airport. Not really, not the whole village, but they were like, what, 13 people or so at the airport, and then they send you off, and then 4 weeks later you're back again. They'll be like, ah, why? So I had to believe God. I had to strongly, and you know, the way the Singapore system works is you can't really apply for a visa out of the country. You have to come in there, submit your papers, and so there was no way of knowing that I was going to be able to stay there until I got there. So just in case you're wondering, why did I wait that long? And I kept on believing God that, look, God, you said, wherever my feet shall tread upon, you shall give to me as a possession. I had to be praying every day. I prayed morning, noon, and night. And I started seeing myself. I started seeing these things, like this very things that I'm sharing about. You know, I started seeing myself being a student, and I started even confessing it as to just build up that faith in me. You know, I'll wake up in the morning, I'll pray, and I'll say, Lord, I see myself as a student of, it was informatics computer school then. I was actually doing 2 diplomas, informatics computer school and school of audio engineering. I see myself as a distinguished student of this school. I see myself as a distinguished student of that school as well. And I think it was 5 weeks after they rejected the last time, they gave me 2 weeks to leave the country. I put in an application, sorry, I wrote a letter of appeal to the High Commissioner who was in charge of the whole area. The High Commission at that time was based in Indonesia, so he wasn't even in Singapore. So I had to send a fax to him in Indonesia to say, look, I'm a student here in from Nigeria. This is what I'm here to study. This is my proof of finances from my mom and my dad. And, you know, this is the course I want to study, this, that, this, that. And, you know, being a Nigerian high com, if you know the history of Nigeria, before you can get a public servant to do anything, you have to dip your hand into your pocket and pass some table money or under table money. But I couldn't, he was in Indonesia, I was in Singapore. To cut the long story short, when I sent that fax to him, he saw it as, oh my goodness, this is the first time that he's not writing to the Singapore government to plead for somebody who has done drugs or done something funny. He said to himself, this is a legitimate case. How he made that conclusion for not, and he had never seen me before, he just had that premonition that this looks legitimate. I am going to fight on this guy's behalf. Before I knew what was happening, he wrote a letter to the Minister for Home Affairs and got the Minister for Foreign Affairs involved. And there was this daily phone calls and emails going back on small little me. And then I was actually small, praise God. And you know, to me that was a turning point in my trust in God. Because after I saw that happening, that God would turn the hearts of kings the way he wants to get what you need, I actually saw that scripture come to pass in my life. And you know, I went on to stay in Singapore for 12 and a half years. I was given the student's visa. And guess what? Everything I confessed, I got a distinction in my IT course. And I also got a distinction in my audio engineering course. I was the top 10 in both courses. I was even given a scholarship to continue studying. So what I am today is as a result of believing and trusting in the word of God. Amen. And I say that not to brag or anything, but to say it is God. Honestly, till now, I still can't explain how God got into the heart of the ambassador in Indonesia to start fighting on my behalf, except by the word of God. Amen. And I just say this to encourage you. Let us not self-sabotage. Even when situations look so dark and so bleak and you're like thinking, nah, this is, you just say, God, I trust you at your word. I trust you at your word. Your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You said I should think on things that are lovely, that are true, that are just, that are noble, that are praiseworthy, that will make people write good reports of me. Those are the things I'm going to think on. Not on the negative part. Not on, because there are 300 other people applying for that job, so I have no chance. Of course you have a chance. Because you're the son or daughter of the living God, you stand a better chance. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, I conclude leaving that thought with you. That even when you walk out of here, whatever it is, whatever difficult situation that you're going through, whatever hard situation you're fighting with that looks hopeless, let your thoughts start changing now. You know, he's a powerful God. Like we sang, what a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name. I mean, death could not hold him down. That's what the word of the word says. So if death could not hold him down, why would, you know, 200 other people applying for a job or you know, governments or whatever it is hold you down? And that's what we need to, like I shared earlier on, that you would always be faced with two truths. Things, this is true, that is, but the word of God is true. And you have to let that word of God just overcome the other thing that looks like it's true, or that is true in a way, to let the truth of God's word take over and take full preeminence. Amen? So even as we just rise and stand up now, let's just pray together as a church. You might be going through some stuff that you know full well that in your mind Satan has been having a go at you, has been kicking you around, and I'm just here to just encourage you to just say, Lord, help us, you know, like the one of the people who met Jesus, Lord, help my unbelief, help me even when I'm so weak, even when I can see things that are not true or that look so true, but I know the truth of your word is more powerful. I'm just here to just encourage you. If you want to come out to be prayed for, please do so. or if you want, just want to just raise up your hand where you are, please don't feel shy or anything. Just let's just reach out together now in faith, because the word of God is true. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation is now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name, what a wonderful name it is. And what a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. 'Cause death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal. Now and name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Father God, we look to you, the one true, all-powerful, almighty God. Lord, even for everyone in this room that have issues dealing with areas of the mind and their thoughts and things that keep troubling them. Lord, even studies show that when people go into mental health issues, it starts in their minds. And Lord, in the powerful name of Jesus, we break that hold over every single person in Jesus' name. We break that bondage over every single person in the name of Jesus. We pray everybody to be loosed now in the name of Jesus in the areas of their thoughts. That they will think on things that are true, that are just, that are pure, that are noble, that are lovely, that are of good report, that bring praise and glory to your name, O God. In every area, their health, their peace, their joy, every single area, O God. We speak that. We speak that in the name of Jesus. We speak that in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there's anybody that wants to come forward for healing or for prayer, please just come forward. We just pray together and we will just believe God together with you. It's a powerful name. Don't look at it as Nigel praying for you, but just believe as all of us coming together in the name of Jesus. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to fly, but two will put 10,000 to fly. And we just say, if you need prayer, if you need healing, you can come forward to receive that healing from God. And Father God, we just say we thank you for who you are, Lord. Lord, you know those who are struggling in different areas of their lives. Is it their work, their job, their relationships? You know those who are looking to you for a life partner. Those who are looking to you to solidify their careers. Those who are even going through issues in their relationships. We just come against every spirit that is not of you in the name of Jesus. And we pray that, Lord, you renew their minds. Let them just look to you, O God, the author and finisher of their faith. As a man thinks, so is he. As a woman thinks, so is he. Let us be people of faith, because our thoughts are faith thoughts. Let us see the glass as half full rather than half empty. And I just pray this upon every person, myself included, that we will not self-sabotage, but Lord, we will use the power that you've given us in the name of Jesus to bring you glory and to bring you honor, oh God. And I just pray now, I just pray that, Lord, every single person under the sound of my voice, we pray your power to resist Satan, to let him be pushed back out of their hearts and out of their minds. Lord, we even know of some people who have families that have health issues. And, you know, Satan continues to bombard us and say, because they had it, you will have it also. We negate that in the name of Jesus. Whatever curse that the devil has placed on our families, it stops in the name of Jesus. It stops with us and it stops even around us in the name of Jesus. I'm just praying for a release of your anointing, a release of your spirit. Holy Spirit, just we thank you. That same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of us. And we thank you for that powerful name. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, you didn't have to come to die, but we're so glad you did. And because you did, you brought with you healing in your wings. Amen. Salvation, redemption, deliverance is all in your hands, oh God. And we thank you, Lord. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. And nothing can stand again. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for a powerful name it is. And Lord, even as we leave this room, leave this house today, we go forth in the power of your might, by your spirit, in the name of Jesus. And we call ourselves victorious in the areas of our thoughts. We win in all that we do today, God. Even as we leave here, we say, take all the praise, take all the glory, and take all the honor. Even as we ask and pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.